The way I see this, it is about what kinds of costs middle-class families are going to face. So let me be clear on this. Costs will go up for the wealthy. They will go up for big corporations. And for middle-class families, they will go down. I will not sign a bill into law that does not lower costs for middle-class families.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, at the last presidential debate in Ohio, her Democratic opponents pushed back, asking how she would pay for Medicare for All without raising taxes on the middle class. Here's Pete Buttigieg.
Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything, except this. No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in.
Well, today, Warren unveiled her plan for that. The price tag, more than $20 trillion in new spending. Joining me to analyze is Jonathan Cohn, senior national correspondent for HuffPost. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. All right, so $20 trillion, where is that going to come from?
So the money is going to come from a variety of sources. She is on paper true to her word. I mean, she said, I'm not going to raise new taxes on the middle class. And you can look at her list of financing options, and you will not see anything that is a new tax on the middle class. What you will see instead are new taxes on corporations. You will see taxes on financial firms. You will see a requirement that employers who today are already paying for their employees' health care to keep paying that money, only instead of buying private insurance, now they'll pay into the new system. You'll see a requirement that states, which today use money to pay for their Medicaid programs and other programs, that, well, okay, they're not going to have to pay for Medicaid anymore because you'll have this new healthcare system, but they too will have to contribute into the new system. And there's a bunch of other revenue options there. She pulls money from, expected extra revenue from immigration reform, adds a little cash here. But you add it all up and you get the sort of what she says is necessary to cover the cost of Medicare for All, which, as you said, is about $20 trillion over 10 years in new federal spending.
But others have analyzed it and say it would cost even more than that. The Urban Institute says it could cost $34 trillion. Why the discrepancy?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the other side of it is, in terms of, the question's been, well, how are you going to pay for it? So the question before you can say how you're going to pay for it, you have to say, well, what's the cost going to be? And she is predicting that the program will cost substantially less than the Urban Institute found. And I should add that a number of other experts have looked at it, and most of them are come up with a higher estimate. To be fair to Warren, she acknowledges this. She's put out a paper and she said, look, I know that I'm kind of saying I think I can get this done for cheaper. Here's why. And here we have a combination of things. But, the biggest items or some of the biggest items are she really says she's going to be a lot more aggressive about controlling the cost of medical care. Now, you say that and everyone says, oh, that sounds great. We want to control the cost of medical care. That's one of the big reasons we're trying to do something on health care reform. But, in practice, that means things like having the government negotiate with pharmaceutical companies over drug prices. It means telling hospitals and doctors, establishing, fees that they're going to get and then keeping those at a sort of, lower rate over time to save money. It means, moving to a Medicare for All system in theory is going to generate a lot of savings because it's simpler, right? There's a lot less billing. There's a lot less administrative waste. Every estimate of Medicare for All assumes this is going to happen. The difference is that Warren is basically she's going to really, really kind of press the gas on these things. I mean, she's really going to be even more aggressive than, say, the Urban Institute assumed. I mean, she's going to go to hospitals and say, look, for example, the Urban Institute, estimated that hospitals would be getting payments that are basically 115% of what Medicare currently pays. And Warren's basically saying, actually, I'm only going to pay you 110% of what Medicare pays. Now, that you may think, oh, well, 5 percentage point, what's the big deal? But actually, when you're dealing with numbers this big, that's a big deal.
Okay, so she would get rid of the insurance industry, basically. I mean, just to boil it down, no more insurance companies at all? And then would she recreate that bureaucracy in the government in some way?
So certainly the private health insurance industry would go away. You know, you'd still have auto and life
and all that.
That's the point. This is what Bernie Sanders wants to do. This is what Warren wants to do. Medicare for All basically anticipates saying, look, private health insurance is not a particularly useful enterprise to have in this country. We don't need it. This is something we know the government can do on its own. We do it now through Medicare, right, for senior citizens, at least traditional Medicare. There are other countries where they do it this way, where the government just insures everybody directly, and that's what we're going to do here. So you do get rid of the private insurance industry. And, you know, everyone would, you know, the analysts are in agreement that if you do that, you do save money, right? I mean, you know, again, it becomes simpler. Right. I mean, you think about a doctor's office right now, how many different insurance companies they have to deal with and how many people they have to hire to deal with them. And, you know, the phone calls you spend with the prior authorization and then they're all marketing and there's a lot of waste in there. That said, how much waste is there and how much, you know, can you actually save money that way? Well, that's a big argument. And Warren is making some very, I would say, optimistic assumptions about how much you can save. You know, she can defend them. There are people who would say, yes, she can do it. But, you know, they are optimistic.
Right. And how does this differ from Bernie Sanders' plan?
So, I mean, in the grand scheme, from 30,000 feet above, even though the numbers are different, it really isn't that different from Bernie's plan. I mean, you know, they are very similar. I mean, the benefit side is the exact same. I mean, she's basically said to the consumer, it's going to look like the Bernie Sanders plan. You know, you're going to get insurance. It'll cover everything. You won't have out-of-pocket costs. You can see any doctor you want, assuming, you know, they're taking, you know, part of the public plan. On the financing side, you know, Bernie Sanders has, you know, when he decided to pay for it, he said, look, I'm going to use a payroll tax, basically. And this is how most countries do it. This is pretty close to the standard way. You know, there will be a payroll tax split between employers and employees, kind of like the Medicare taxes today. And that's how you'll pay for the system. Now, he basically said to people, yeah, that's a new tax. And I know you're saying I'm going to raise your taxes. But guess what? For most people in the middle class, for most people in lower income classes, you're going to come out ahead because, you know, you're not paying premiums anymore. You're not paying out-of-pocket costs anymore. Warren has not elected to do that. I think that's largely a political choice on her part. And so she's ended up with this other convoluted system. On paper, she's, it looks like she's able to do this with a system that shifts the burden more towards the wealthy, more towards corporations. But, you know, we'll have to see. Among other things, you know, it's the case with a plan like this, you know, it just got put out this morning.
Right.
Reporters got to look at it yesterday.
But Biden is already taking pot shots at this. He's basically saying there is actually a tax there because the amount of money that would be left over in the employees' paychecks when they're not paying for their health care, that money would then be taxed for this.
Sure. I mean, you know, but, you know, I mean, that's a little like saying, you know, there's a new tax because you're getting a raise. What she said, it's part of her plan. She says some of the money comes from the fact that, you know, people are going to get raises because they're not having to pay for insurance premiums anymore. And when you get a raise, that money is subject to tax. And so you get a tax. I think there are criticisms, lots of valid criticisms you could make of this. You know, you can say she's overly optimistic about how much savings you can get. You can say that politically these are very difficult to do. And obviously you can say any of these have trade-offs, right? I mean, you're taxing corporations. Some people would say that's going to hurt the economy. You know, you're really squeezing doctors and hospitals a lot harder. Some people would say that, hey, they're going to see fewer patients, whatever. I mean, these are all reasonable arguments to have. But, you know, the tax argument that this is a tax is not a tax. I mean, I always thought this was a silly argument in the first place. You know, I don't particularly think that's like a useful or particularly accurate, you know, criticism to make.
All right. We're out of time, but a lot more to discuss, as we will in the coming months. Jonathan Cohn, senior national correspondent for HuffPost. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.